The citadel of Troezen, where the palace stands, was built by giants before anyone remembers. But the palace was built by my great-grandfather. At sunrise, if you look at it from Calauria across the strait, the columns glow fire red and the walls are golden. It shines bright against the dark woods on the mountainside. Our house is Helene, sprung from the seed of ever-living Zeus. We worship the sky gods before Mother Dea and the gods of Earth, and we have never mixed our blood with the blood of the shore people who had the land before us. My grandfather had about 15 children in his household when I was born, but his queen and her sons were dead, leaving only my mother born in wedlock. As for my father, it was said in the palace that I had been fathered by a god. When I was 7, the horse sacrifice came due, a great day in Troezen. It is held 4 yearly. I knew it concerned the king horse. To my mind, nothing could have been more fitting. I knew him well. He lived in the great horse field down on the plain. From the palace roof, I had often watched him snuffing the wind with his white mane flying or leaping on his mares. And only last year, I had seen him do battle for his kingdom. One of the house barons, seeing from afar the duel begin, rode down to the olive slopes for a nearer sight and took me on his crupper. I watched the great stallions rake the earth with their forefeet, arch their necks, and shout their war cries, then charge in with streaming manes and teeth laid bare. At last the loser foundered. The king horse snorted over him, threw up his head, neighing, and trotted off toward his wives. He had never been halted, and was as wild as the sea. Not the king himself would ever throw a leg across him. He belonged to the god. On the feast day, I woke at dawn. Morning was red, and the crimson-painted columns burned in it. I could hear, down in the courtyard, the house barons assembling in their war dress. The land barons were coming in from their horses or their chariots. The sound of men's voices grew louder and deeper and filled the air above the courtyard. I ran to the battlements and looked out between their teeth. Now I saw what god it was the men were following. They had let loose the king horse, and he was running free across the plain. While I was watching, a chariot rattled. It was my grandfather's, and I remembered I was to ride in it. I was eager to see him in his war things, for in those days he was tall. Last time I was in Troezen, when he was turned 80, he had grown light and dry as an old grasshopper piping by the hearth. I could have lifted him in my hands. He died a month after my son, having, I suppose, nothing to hold him longer. But he was a big man then. He heaved himself in by the chariot rail, set his feet in the braces, and gave the word to go. As we clattered down the cobbled road, you could not have taken him for anything but a warrior. We reached the shore of the strait where the ford was. I had looked forward to splashing through it in the chariot, but a boat was waiting to save our best clothes. On the other side, we mounted again and skirted for a while the Calarian shore, looking across at Troezen. Then we turned inward through pines. The horse's feet drummed on a wooden bridge and stopped. We had come to the little holy island, and kings must walk in the presence of the gods. As we walked, I saw ahead, in the midst of the sacred clearing, the king horse himself, browsing quietly from a tripod. He had been hand-broken this last year, not for work, but for this occasion, and today he had had the drug feed at dawn. But without knowing this, I was not surprised that he should put up with the people round him. I had been taught it was the mark of a king to receive homage with grace.